Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were guides, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't help.
We start hour two of the NFL news as we got a game on Wednesday. Somehow it had eluded me, not that there was a Wednesday game, but that what the matchup was. I hadn't really thought of it. Because of all the conversations about the 49ers and the Rams going to Australia, that's where my focus was as far as the NFL season. And then they're like, Wednesday, because I was watching, I think, Michigan versus Western Michigan. So NBC has that game, I think. I believe so. And they're like, Wednesday, the NFL is back. Pagers versus Seahawks. Like, oh, Pagers versus Seahawks. Like, I know that's the rematch of the Super Bowl, but I don't want the last game of the season to be that and the first game. Like, I don't know. Look, the Seahawks are the champs. I knew in some way in my mind that they were going to open up the year. I was looking for something else.
Can they play the Rams?
Yeah. I know it's the 49ers and the Rams, so that's removed from the equation in week one. But
I mean, when you make the schedule, make the Rams. Make the schedule.
Yeah, you could have it be the Rams against the Seahawks as a rematch of, you know, the best game of the postseason last year. Instead, sure, Drake May and Brown and Dobbs and the Patriots. Okay, cool. But it is not exciting to me. But we'll see how it shakes out. As far as quarterback news, as I talked about, the Falcons have named theirs, at least their starter, and it'll be Tua Tagovailoa. He wins the job. Michael Penix will be inactive as he's still trying to work his way back. So while it seemed like for a while now that Tua was going to just lose the job because he was the only one able to play, and his play was going to keep him from winning that job, he gets the start. Michael Penix still trying to get back. We'll see how long that job remains Tua's after what has been a couple of disappointing seasons. Injuries have taken their toll, but he's able to hold off the rest of the Falcons quarterback room simply because he's the only one really ambulatory, or they could go with Cooper Rush, which they decided not to do.
Yeah. People said Tua Tagovailoa was going to lose a quarterback competition to someone who wasn't able to practice. They were wrong. Because that guy's too hurt to play.
But only because they're not sure they should clear him to play.
When I saw that he won the job, I was like, oh, that's at least a little interesting that they're going with him. It says more about, you know, Penix to me. And I saw that Penix was inactive. I was like, oh, it's just Penix is inactive. Like, yeah. They don't want to run him out there.
Now, could they do better with Cooper Rush? Possibly, but maybe we'll find that out if Penix is still inactive by week three. Maybe Cooper Rush will wind up taking that job. For Falcons team with Kevin Stefanski, who, because they're in the NFC South, and you start to look at the talent in their roster, thinks, you know what, if they had a competent quarterback, they could put together a pretty good offense with Stefanski and their offensive firepower. They just, at the moment, don't have anyone trust.
If I'm a Falcons fan, I'm watching week one of college football. I'm being like, there's a good chance we get a pick at one of these guys. We're in the number one pick mix because of the quarterback.
Ooh.
Quarterbacking looks so bad.
You don't think they're talented enough offensively that could they be so bad at quarterback that, like, Cooper Rush has proven to win games in the NFL. He's not great.
So as a backstop of, like,
yeah, I think he's too good of a backup with the guys they have, and you would think Kevin Stefanski hasn't been ruined by his Browns tenure, that they'll be able to scheme up to the point
5 wins
that they get 5 to 6, and that might be too many.
So, okay. They're probably not in the number one pick range, although it's like not all they need is
an injury,
a Drake London injury,
and the quarterback play to be terrible. Yeah.
But they are, I think they'll be in the range to pick a quarterback that isn't like,
yeah, if we have,
oh my God, what a reach. Like they might get the fourth guy, but they can probably get a guy.
It is set up if we go by this weekend.
They pick Michael Penix. Like he was like the fifth quarterback that was taken.
It's true. If you go by what you saw this weekend, quarterback wise in college, certainly Mensa staked his claim to have more attention paid to him. We'll see. Like, beyond, okay, making fun of Chris Richard, Stanford, D.C., for running man on Malachi Toney, the balls were accurate. Like, he was hitting, he was hitting guys in stride. And this is what I take note of more than anything else with quarterback play. I know people have their thoughts about traits and arm strength. If you have the adequate amount of arm strength to play in the NFL, are your receivers stopping their feet every time they got to catch the ball? Are you turning what could be a 25-yard play into a 12-yard play because your receiver has to adjust to make the play? And he didn't have any of that on display. He was dotting dudes up all game long. And there will be other guys, like whether it be Arch, who certainly will be discussed throughout, and you're just going to go across football. And there are going to be guys who emerge. How deep does this quarterback draft go? And will the Falcons be the beneficiary of a big quarterback class, or will they be disappointed because the Jets and the Dolphins, whoever's in that realm, take guys, and then there's only like two to three you can deem as first-rounders?
They also play in the NFC South, I realize.
Yeah, so that division isn't exactly one that's hell.
Like, the Jets and Dolphins are going to get bullied by the other two teams in the conference. They're probably each going to win at least 10 games.
Sure.
There's not really... I mean, there's not one team that I'd say would win 10 games in the NFC South. So, oh well. That is somehow the bright side of, oh my God, look at our quarterback. It's like, oh, maybe we can mess around and get one of the top picks. Like, actually, that might also be hard for you too. So,
yeah. You know, they got Dante Moore, whose Oregon team needed. Everything to find a way to beat Boise State. CJ Carr played last night. It felt without their explosive guys and Jeremiah Love and Jadarian Price, it felt more like the Notre Dame I remember. Like, they will beat you because they're bigger, stronger. And they were some explosive passing plays came later as the game wore on, but you could see how Wisconsin, when they felt they could hold up in the run game, defending the run, just put a blanket over Notre Dame's passing game. You're not gonna run by it, so you're not gonna throw anything beyond 8 yards. And that was why that game was close, also because Notre Dame, I think, benefited from a muffed kickoff that felt like that Notre Dame player never got possession before his foot touched out of bounds. You watch that, hell, the referee, their expert, I forgot who it was, talking to, yes, Jason Garrett still does.
Notre Dame game. Still, I think he's the Notre Dame broadcaster.
Yeah, now the play-by-play guy can get swapped out, but he remains the analyst. Everybody, the three guys are like, that's probably not a recovery. And the official came out of the review and call stands like, what are you talking about? And it led to a Notre Dame touchdown. Wisconsin did their best, and they just wore down. But C.J. Carr will be in the mix as far as top draft picks if he decides to come out. Lenora Sellers still excites people. We will see how it goes for them. So there will be guys people will be monitoring. We'll see how many guys actually deserve a first-round grade. As far as this city, no worries about drafting a quarterback in the first round. Not necessarily because your quarterback will be great. It's just you'll be too good, however it shakes out, to be really in a spot to do that. As I mentioned earlier, DJ Bienname, who is a frequent contributor to the station, has a piece about CJ Stroud and a big year four. And it's, as I read through it, it's kind of what we've heard. The quotes aren't ones, I think, that were given yesterday. These are quotes that CJ has given throughout his offseason. He mentions the video that went viral, I guess one of his parasocial friends do a skit of it, and he laughed about it, saying it rolled off his back. So he appears, at least through print, to be in a good spot. We will just wait and see in his game week. We got through it almost. We don't have to talk about what it'll be. We can echo the words of D'Amico. Now it's time to see, and the Bills are in town on Sunday, and it's unfair, I would say, to look at the at week one as a potential narrative shifter for CJ. But whoever got whatever God you pray to, God forbid, he looks mid. Because even if he is average, the questions will just get louder. I don't know what silences people. We expect the defense to torture Josh Allen. That's just what they do in Reliant. If he's just average and they win a game like
C plus Stroud.
If he's C plus Stroud, the noise will just build. Like they can continue to win games, but he has to I don't know that he needs to be CJ year one to get people to quiet down, but it would help. And winning won't be enough, I think, for him this year.
No.
He's going to have to play to a level, frankly, that makes people comfortable giving him his money, particularly if that deadline strikes and he doesn't get a deal. Just to quiet people down. You know what? I'm hoping for a Shred'em Shroud to open up on Monday. Just because I don't want to have to talk about this for 18 weeks.
Take the temperature down a little bit.
I hope
week one.
I don't know what the Bills defense will be. There's some change there with no Sean McDermott as a head coach anymore. But if I just need a good CJ day where you feel confident you can hit Shred'em Shroud and we can move on and wait for a bad performance before we have the conversation. Because 18 weeks of this is going to be exhausting. Yeah.
I know this show, we will kind of bail on it after 8 weeks of like
particularly if he's not atrocious.
Yeah.
Like if he's just fine, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, that's the thing. Under the microscope, with the microscope, he's going to be under this year. Like actually, C plus Stroud won't be good enough for the people, capital P, the people. But it might actually be good enough for the Houston Texans to get through. It's like if people watch Sam Darnold starts last year and were hanging on every single pass, and like that is what CJ Stroud is under. And Sam Darnold led the league in turnovers last year. It's like if CJ Stroud does that and has the same result, people still would be like, "WTF, dude?"
Yep.
Like it. I mean, he couldn't walk into the practice facility day one without that. Like he's under a crazy microscope. He's gonna have to go like 250, two touchdowns, like at least to like get everyone to chill out a little.
Frankly, throwing a game winning drive while you're at it, throw that in there.
Yeah. I mean, normally they don't need a game winning drive to beat the Bills.
It's always the Bills trying to foster one. Yeah,
normally they're. But if they want to mix it up a little, you know, sure. Let's say Josh Allen plays the best game of his career against the Texans in Houston, which is on the table. It's not a high bar.
Is he due? I guess we'll play that
like,
game.
I don't know. Especially you're not in a spotlight spot. You're not in a standalone window. You are playing at noon, but it I have to assume is the biggest noon game. This is like they are getting the A team from CBS.
Not a bad thought, unless they're. What are the Chiefs doing? Are they playing?
Oh yeah,
you always got to take that. Yeah. Patrick Mahomes come back. You got to take that into account. Actually, I'm sure. Has that stuff been announced yet?
The broadcast.
Yeah,
have they normally it's out by now.
So the Chiefs play on ESPN. So you can
boom.
That's Monday.
Oh yeah,
night.
They're Monday night. Yeah.
So you can remove that from the equation.
Yeah, it doesn't look like there's anything.
I would say you got a real shot. To have
Ravens Colts on CBS.
To have Nance and Watt in town.
Oh yeah,
for week one. If you start to look at this stuff,
yeah. Unless they're in Minnesota calling Green Bay.
Yeah, it is on CBS. Yeah,
yeah. But yeah, I mean, it is going to be on Sunday, especially because we stretch out. There's a Wednesday game, a Thursday game, and a Monday game.
Yeah,
like
there's so
you're
many.
Stretching it out that the Sunday spot is going to be pretty big, and there's going to be a lot of eyes on them. And yeah, it is. You know, it's gonna count as like three games, basically. Like,
honestly,
if he goes out there and even just like one touchdown, two interceptions,
oh, forget about it.
Yeah,
he throws two picks, unless they're clear tips where the guys just
even
bats
then,
the ball up
even
in the
then,
air.
Even
yeah,
then,
for people not watching,
because it's not like it's the analyst world.
Yeah,
that is on CJ's case. They're actually the ones that are most nice about
that's
it.
That's true.
it's the posters. It's the the people, the streets.
I mean, the only
are
way
not
the,
on CJ's
the
Stroud's
only
side.
Way yeah for the streets, but people who watch the game who are on the streets. The only way those picks don't count against him if it like hits Nico Collins in the hands
and pops straight up.
And he bobbles it up in the air for whatever reason because he's against CJ. Yeah,
and then DeMar Hamlin takes it.
Yeah. And then DeMar, well, we talked about what
people what celebration would he do.
Yeah, CJ doesn't have one unless he does the slime stuff or the – yeah, I don't know. CJ didn't do a lot of celebrating last year, honestly.
He does the –
yeah, and squabble dance he did in year one.
Yeah.
But not a lot of dancing in the last couple seasons for CJ.
No. All business.
Well, we'll see if that plays out in week one against the Bills. And if you, since we're talking about quarterback performances – have an in or have a belief that a quarterback is going to play well or play poorly, I got a place for you to go to. So while you're watching the games, you can make these games much more exciting, and that is with Fliff. You can download the app, that Fliff app, that's F-L-I-F-F, and make picks on the biggest matchups and player performances. You can play free every day with free Fliff coins and your bonus daily dollar. And if you want to level up, you can purchase Fliff coins and receive Fliff cash as a bonus on every purchase every day. So we talked about the team in this town and whether it's the defense against that Bills quarterback or you like a receiver on your team putting up numbers, get in on this. Get in on Fliff and make football even better when you've got something riding on every drive. So it could be every touchdown, interception, and big play. Those become more exciting with Fliff. So new players can receive that $250 extra bonus Fliff cash. You can download Fliff and use promo code Dell Show, that's Dell, D-E-L, show, to get started. And you can play for free every day with those free Fliff coins or purchase Fliff coins and receive extra bonus Fliff cash on every purchase every day. You get those huge daily boosts on feature picks every day. So, of course, I'm talking about football, but Fliff has other things you can take a look at as well. You can download Fliff now, Fliff around, and find out. You must be 18 plus, no purchase necessary, void where prohibited, and restrictions apply. See terms of use for eligibility at getfliff.com. That's getfliff.com. And full promotion rules, Fliff Incorporated.
ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Time for our weekly misery index. For those who don't know, it is simply a gauge of the misery permeating through college football, and we rank the fan bases slash programs most miserable. We had what happened in Ann Arbor. Clearly, Michigan would have been at the top of the list. They still may make the list. But if they had not gotten the reprieve of the extra second and then the Hail Mary to where Bryce Underwood hit Buchanan, they would be number one. And Western Michigan has handled this in a way that's kind of the antithesis of how college football has handled this entire offseason. They simply accepted the result after the Big Ten explained and showed them the video and the clock that they use, not the broadcast clock. And you guys, and they're like, you know what? Okay, we don't particularly like it, but I think in the statement, it was the AD who said, "Look, we live in a world where things don't go people's way all the time, and there's a way to take that and use it, and there's a improper way." I'm paraphrasing now. And they decided to take the route of, hey, pretty much life is unfair, is what pretty much what they said.
It's a learning lesson.
Yeah, we'll keep it moving. Maybe those are Midwest sensibilities, except Ohio State fans exist, so I know.
And it, Michigan fans exist.
Exactly. So it isn't Midwest sensibilities. No, it appears to be Western Michigan sensibilities.
Yeah. Small-town football.
Yeah, as they accept their fate. And
they do it in Kalamazoo.
And keep it moving. So. Yeah.
With grace.
With grace and class.
That there's a secret clock that they don't get access to
until
there's a review.
And that is part of the statement. Hey, perhaps we can make this give more clarity, make this more transparent, maybe see it as the review is going on as opposed to getting the video afterwards and you telling us that, hey, It's sure it's synced up, and I know the stadium clock said zero and the broadcast copy said zero, but trust us. Trust
us. No, this other clock that only the Big Ten has when we're reviewing plays.
They said the NBC would have it too. We sync it up. All the. I guess in these situations, zero doesn't actually mean zero because they go by tenths of a second.
I've always wondered why basketball has tenths of a second,
and football doesn't.
Any in football doesn't.
I don't know. It would have been helpful.
It would have been very. You know what? It would have been very helpful.
Yeah. If you missed it, the ruling was that the Western Michigan player started from an out-of-bounds position because Bryce Underwood, of course, is throwing the ball out of bounds.
honestly, they should end the game because the quarterback threw the ball out of bounds.
Throw a special dispensation. if you can't even keep the ball in play, game over, no matter how much time is left. So he started from an out-of-bounds position, touched the ball with point whatever left as opposed to triple zeros. Michigan got another opportunity. And Bryce Underwood was like, you know what? Correction time. I'm going to make sure this ball not only stays in the end zone, but barely makes it in.
Yeah, I'm going to throw it 11 yards shorter this time.
Yeah, and my big receiver makes a play, and Bryce Underwood, because he has, I guess at this point, at least in that moment, a lack of discernment, is doing, yeah, you doubted me? He's got that face on. All right. Know that you got away with one and walk off the field, okay? And particularly because you didn't do much work. You put the ball on the spot, and your receiver made the play. Buchanan, of all people, if he wanted to walk around going, I'm him, I would respect it, at least on that Saturday night in Ann Arbor. So, misery index, I don't think it should start anywhere but with Clemson. We talked about them quite a bit in segment one of the show. That was embarrassing. You offer little resistance to an LSU team, maybe not in flux so much, but that's a new coaching staff. They're figuring some things out. They got a new quarterback. And after the first drive of the game where LSU on a ball where Levis a little inaccurate, which is part of his thing, throws a little bit behind receiver on a slant. It gets picked off. Clemson's highest peak. After that, was it 51 straight points?
Did they score again? Clemson did score.
They kicked that field goal, right? And then to make it 3-0.
Did they not get to 10?
No, it was 51 straight. Then they scored 10. Then they scored a touchdown. So I think it was 51-3.
Yeah,
it was 51-3. They scored the first points, gave up 51 straight, and then tacked on a field goal. Excuse me, a touchdown late.
Michigan did the same thing.
Yeah, we didn't even mention that.
They scored in the first drive and the last drive, Dale.
Much different outcomes in that one.
And nothing in the middle.
Yeah.
In parentheses. Oh,
yeah, zero. And a
lot
of
the MAC team. MAC champion.
Yeah, let's not just call them a MAC team, Sean. They're the defending MAC champion. And Lance Taylor's probably going to get a bigger job going forward. But
add that to the misery index for Western Michigan.
Yeah.
America now knows you have an awesome coach.
Yeah, maybe the majority of the country didn't know Lance Taylor was a good football coach. I'm sure there are people who are keeping their eye on him because he has ties to bigger teams as an assistant. But he does what he does at Western Michigan. They win 10 games. They win the conference. And now the rest of America knows that Lance Taylor is a pretty good football coach if he can take Michigan to the wire. And in some people's eyes, should have won that game. So, yeah, Clemson number one. I was miserable watching them. I didn't have a real rooting interest in the game. I just wanted to close my Saturday night out, at least with primetime stuff.
Yeah.
Entertained. And after that first pick, I was like, oh, look at that. Clemson's defense making plays, and they made very few the rest of the way, as they got blown out. So they're number one, and with the bullet. I don't know what the future holds for them. Feels like Clemson is going to stick with Dabo because he has won those two national titles, and it's very hard to root that out, even if the root is poisonous now. It's very hard to get rid of it. But we'll see if there's anyone there who will say enough is enough, particularly if it goes away, at least the rest of the way that it went in week one. Number two on the list, Western Michigan / Michigan. We kind of went through it before we got to it. Michigan should be miserable because the quarterback they believe was this generational prospect is already having his job status questioned by the new head coach. Western Michigan, of course, you had a win over the big school and state ripped away from you, whether fairly or unfairly. You had that game won, it felt like. Guys running on the field, the excitement that the entire city of Kalamazoo must have felt, at least the program. There are probably some Michigan Wolverine fans in Kalamazoo, just how it works with the big state school. But for the most part, that was a program that would have made a name for themselves with the win. Now, people will pay attention to them. They feel bad for you, but that's not the feeling you wanted. You wanted the feeling of, we took out Michigan. We took out top 20 Michigan in their building but with defense, and we're a program that has a shot to make a CFP. Because think about it. You beat Michigan, and if you're the favorite to win, you're the favorite to win the MAC.
Yeah.
Who's stopping? What's stopping you from being the non-Power Four representative?
I think they have another.
They have another game.
Oh, they have Boise State.
So, if you,
so like they theoretically could take out another team that they're competing.
You beat Michigan. You beat Boise. The pathway is clear for you to be the highest ranked CFP non-Power Four school, and you're in the field. Instead, maybe you'll get credit for it the rest of the way. Voters don't really use that type of context, unfortunately. It's kind of win or loss, but if you believe they were treated unfairly, you should treat that as a win.
Yeah. Oh, that – I mean, we won't have to worry about it because Michigan needed a Hail Mary to beat Western Michigan. But I swear to God, if they somehow go 9-3 and earn a playoff spot against Texas, this is a loss. They win 8-4. They kick them off the tour. I will go – my brain will break.
That's funny.
If Texas has hard-fought losses against, like, Oklahoma, LSU, and Ohio State.
And Michigan makes it at – even if Michigan makes it at 10-2.
Yeah.
Forget about – Aiden, we got 9-3, 10-2. You should be 9-3 with the loss of Western Michigan. Get out of here.
Now,
because – I don't think they make it at 9-3.
Because it was 13-12 against Western Michigan, I don't think we're going to have to worry about that.
But if they – if Whittingham flips the switch and – they figure some things out. If their defense is just astronomical, we don't mention because we don't think much of Western Michigan's offense against a Power Four school.
That offensive line.
They were able to keep them from scoring. I guess we can say that. At least touchdowns. A lot of field goals for Western Michigan. But I don't think you have to worry about it.
I don't think so.
Because
that was a thought that crossed my mind.
Yeah. Yes.
It was going to break my brain. I'd be a fundamentally different person if that happened.
If you had to get into a debate about Texas versus Western Michigan.
Yes.
Or excuse me, Michigan. Yeah, that'd be tough.
I would find Dave Portnoy and yell at him in his face.
Yeah, well, people who are using his bets are yelling at him. He has been stinky.
Oh, has he?
Yes, he's been terrible.
Because he had Rutgers, right?
Yeah.
He bet on Rutgers.
He had to apologize to people. It continued throughout the weekend. He's been trash. Next up. For several reasons, because I watched this game intently just because I wanted to see how it would play out. Baylor fans, the DJ Lagway experience is one you won't enjoy. You'll have to worry about his injury status week to week. He got hurt in game one, gutted it out, and you'll watch him throw passes that remind people of why he was such a highly rated prospect, and then you'll watch him make the most inexcusable mistakes for a guy who's been in college football as long as he has. He hadn't had as many starts as you would imagine because he's been hurt, but just some of the throws. So it was on, I don't know if it was back-to-back plays, but it was in the same sequence. A defensive end for Auburn drops out, and he layers the ball over him. In some people's eyes, probably shouldn't have made the throw anyway because there wasn't a lot of room, but he layers the ball over him ahead of the DB. Guy, his receiver makes a play, catches it on the sideline. Great throw. Maybe a bad decision, but great throw. And within two plays, he throws a ball to the same DN dropping out as a crosser's coming across the screen. And you're like, how the hell did you make that? How could you make the one throw? But maybe it speaks to just bad decisions. And this one was a crosser as opposed to an out. So it was more centered in the field. And the same defensive end drops into coverage, makes a play, and it's a turnover. We had a lot of that. We had him on the play. He got hurt. I think he fumbles the ball. He
hurdles
elevates
towards the sideline
and fumbles. And Auburn recovers it. And you had late in the game where they're trailing. He throws a dime that his receiver drops. That would have been a touchdown. Within a couple plays, he hits that receiver on a really good throw. In fact, the receiver makes a tougher play. He has to kind of – he's had his arm held. He makes a play, gets him down to the one-yard line. They eventually score a touchdown. And on – I'll credit Dave Aranda for this because he saved us from watching more Auburn-Baylor.
Oh, my God.
Thank you for that, Dave.
Thank you, Dave.
He goes for two, final play of the game. And, look, The tight end is open. Great tackle by Winters, the safety for Auburn. But DJ Lagway makes the tight end turn towards him as opposed to leading him to the pylon.
Throw it to his right shoulder.
And it gives the DB a chance to not only make the play, but it kind of stops the tight end's momentum. Look, big tight end, safety, crashing into each other. I don't know who you think will win. But if the tight end doesn't have to turn his shoulder back towards the football, it can use that momentum of a good throw. He may be able to fall down into the end zone because he is heading towards the pylon as opposed to turning back.
Or at least take
stretch
it
the
reach.
Ball. Yeah. These are all things that you don't really look at. But if you're a person who likes to analyze quarterbacks, you go, hey, a better throw leads him into the end zone or at least gives him an opportunity, as you said, to reach the ball over. Instead, he has his momentum is stopping to make a play, and he gets hit. Great hit. Kept the tight end out of the end zone. But there are things like this that are going to drive Baylor fans nuts, particularly if he gets to play all 12 games, which is seems unlikely. He's already hurt after week one, the high ankles.
Yeah, thing. But you didn't see the, like, oh, God, we just got a five-star quarterback, you know, like, because that's the sell of when you get one of these guys that are highly rated at a big school, SEC school starter, giant expectations, and then doesn't work out, comes down a level, you're like, okay, well, he's going to light it up at this level, though, right? And it's like, nope, he still really is just kind of the same guy. Like, the calculus doesn't actually work out to where it's like, ah, he's gotten a little bit better, cleaned some of the stuff up, and now you're just getting the good stuff. Nope, you're still getting the bad stuff, too, and you're, again, it is, like, kind of nitpicky to be like, you threw the ball to the wrong side of your tight end, but when you come up inches short of winning the
game,
matters. Like, that really matters.
Yeah.
That really matters.
I know he's banged up, and I think they rolled him to the right for the purposes of getting a little, I don't know if you want to call it leverage, but momentum, to be able to throw that ball towards the pylon.
Yeah.
The receiver makes a play, and if he gets hit, he can kind of fall in, but we kind of explained it. It was just poor placement, and that is just something they're going to have to deal with. This one, maybe a little bit off the beaten path, and is it somewhat a direct shot at Keith? Perhaps. But Oklahoma State's march to 9-3 hits the skids early.
Still possible.
Because, you know, they got 11 more games. Now they have to go 10-2 or 9-2 in the rest of the way, as opposed to Keith maybe thinking he gets a win against Tulsa. Now, they lost to Tulsa last year, part of the reason why they have a new coaching staff and a new quarterback, Drew Messmaker, the quarterback who played really well at North Texas, along with several other North Texas guys like Caleb Hawkins, one of their receivers, came over. A lot of guys followed their coach to North Texas. But unlike Kirk Cignetti, who turned all of his James Madison products into eventual national champions, but even in year one, they make the playoff. I don't foresee that for Oklahoma State as Eric Morris's team drops one to Tulsa. They score 10 points. Lose 24-10. So we can't even say Drew Messmaker and Oklahoma State, at least Drew Messmaker, the quarterback, hey, step up in competition. It got to him. He can be better. It's Tulsa.
Yeah. They literally play in the conference he came from.
Yeah.
Right? They're American?
I got to see what North Texas did to Tulsa. Did they play last year? I would have to look. But They do play this year, so we'll see how the Mean Green do against Tulsa without Drew Messmaker and Eric Morris. But they did not play last year.
Okay.
The last time they played was 2024.
So first time you've seen them.
And North Texas beat the brakes off of Tulsa in 2024. Yeah. So Eric Morris has had success against Tulsa. Not this time. Not at the bigger program. Not with your players that you brought over.
It's also one thing to lose. It's another thing to lose 24-10.
Yeah, you know, like, you don't score. You're the offensive guy. You bring over the quarterback who some people are thinking about what could he do if he this year, could he propel himself into a good spot for the NFL draft, and you just put up a stinker.
Yeah, I could – or I probably wouldn't believe it, but I could at least squint and see why you'd make the case of if they lost 38-24, why that's like a little bit better. You know, like, oh, okay, it's a more of a defensive problem that they have than
sometimes
importing
you just,
the offense that was the best offense in the league.
Yeah, sometimes you just don't get the athletes on defense,
like,
and it takes
a
little bit.
Nope, both sides actually didn't really work out this time. To me, this is like a pretty obvious. Because there really wasn't that many games where I felt like fan bases would be miserable at the end of it, and I completely forgot about this game that happened. Because it was never like it was competitive, but there's never a time where you're like, oh, all right, Oklahoma State looks right here.
Yeah.
It's like, no, it's every time you see the scores in one of the quad boxes, I'm like, really? They're just still messing around with Tulsa. That's crazy.
Apparently they weren't messing around. They just not good enough.
Yeah.
And they dropped that one. They lose by 2 touchdowns. And while the energy that we talked about around LSU and the excitement about Lane Kiffin being there certainly reaches a level that you imagine that Oklahoma State didn't reach. There was excitement there. You got a new head coach. You got a good quarterback. You think he's going to import that offense that did big things, and you got the running back from the former school. You got the wide receiver. You think you're just going to, you know, not lose to Tulsa like you did last year, and all you got was a similar result.
We had an intern over the summer that
Oklahoma State,
and he was like, all I want to see is a Big 12 win. Because they've gone 0-9 in the Big 12 the last 2 years that he's been a student.
Tough.
And so he's like, all I really want is a Big 12.
Yeah, I don't know.
But he did. I was like, so what do you think? He's like, he did think they're going to be good. But he is like, my expectation, like, I am happy with the Big 12 win. I didn't know how much he's going to cut it close on this. I didn't realize that I have to look at their schedule to see. They definitely get one, right? Like, they get one.
I mean, if last year's team lost to Tulsa and this year's team loses to Tulsa.
They just have to get one. I mean, come on. They have to get better.
Week one. Well, they scored less points this year than they did last year. They scored 12 last year.
I'm sorry, Peyton. I don't know if it's going to work out for you.
Mike Gundy, is that? Now that one was at home. This one was on the road. I will look.
Thank you for giving him that grace.
Now I know it's an in-state rivalry, but what the hell is Oklahoma State doing going to Tulsa? Is that the only way Tulsa would agree? That's where you are now.
It might be, you have
to go there.
2-for-1,
or maybe it's 2-for-1, and maybe it's just hey, you know, legislators get involved.
State government.
Yeah, Haley, you gotta play your in-state school. But you know, Miami had to go to FIU once, although they wound up playing that at Marlins Park, so they didn't actually have to spend time on FIU's campus. I don't know why. Like, there's no center location, non-college campus that one of these games could be played at.
Oklahoma City
Stadium. They don't have a stadium. So maybe that's why you wind up at Tulsa. But, yeah, they've had a long-standing rivalry. They've been playing since 1914.
And the coach for Tulsa, Trey Lamb, he got up there at the podium. I forgot if it was this offseason or the last offseason. I mean, like, we are Tulsa's team. Like, we are the team of this area, and like, you know, we're better than Oklahoma State. We're better than, like, he was listing off teams. Did not say Oklahoma.
Thankfully, some self awareness.
Yes, but and he talked his talk, and then went out there and walked the walk.
Yeah, they play every year, and they alternate every year. So there's that's where it comes from. But and I guess maybe I
and it really shouldn't matter.
Yeah.
Oklahoma State.
Yeah,
it really shouldn't matter where you play this game.
Yeah, but they've lost 29 times to Tulsa and won 44. So it's closer than you think. It's certainly closer than the Oklahoma State-Oklahoma rivalry.
I was going to say, that's closer than – oh, my God.
So they have had their trouble with Tulsa. So you know what? I'm apologizing to Tulsa. Oklahoma State should go there.
Yeah.
They lose enough where – and it's competitive enough of a game where they should make trips to Tulsa.
There's a lot of, like, pretty big – matchups that aren't that close. Like, there's some...
You start to dive like, deep into some of these matchups we talk about.
Like, I think the Iron Bowl is in the same realm of that kind of lopsided.
Well,
there's more games.
We're focused on the Nick Saban era, and when Auburn wins those games, it's these spectacular games where, you know, the Cam Newton comeback, the kick six. When they win, it's generally in remarkable fashion over the last several years.
52-37-1.
So if Alabama's handling Auburn that way, perhaps Oklahoma State should pick it up and handle Tulsa in a much more dominant fashion. But, hey, you know what? Maybe it should be 2-for-1 Tulsa. You take 2 trips to Tulsa for every one in Stillwater.
All right,
aggressive, I know. They still do have a lead in the rivalry, but it's closer than you would think.
It is closer than it has any business being.
Yeah. All right, we'll go to break with that. If you guys want to get in before we wrap it up for the day. The number is 713-780-3776.
Houston's independent voice for sports talk.
we're back inside the Huntington Bank Studios with Del Olalea and Sean Mapes.
So we touched on the Cougs earlier. We're going to get to Chris, who I believe went to the game. I know he called in about tickets. But I do want to remind you, today's the last day to help the Houston Food Bank through Houston Restaurant Weeks. They raised more than $1.6 million, and today's your final chance to help top that. Eat big, do good. Details at HoustonRestaurantWeeks.com. So if you're out and about or you want to figure out some place to eat on this Labor Day, you can pick one of the restaurants at HoustonRestaurantWeeks.com and help out the Houston Food Bank. All right, let's get to Chris. He wants to talk Cougs. What's up, Chris?
Hey, what's up, guys? Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, I just wanted to kind of talk about the Cougs, and I appreciate a huge shout-out to 975 for the ticket. Me and my son had a great time, bought a ticket for my wife. We all got to go out there and see the Cougs win, so it was great. Amir Thomas is a complete beast, bro. Like, that, he was top-notch. That was a great game to watch, so huge shout-out to you guys, and I appreciate it. Thank you, and I'll hang up and listen, and listen to the rest of the show. Love the show, guys. Thanks.
Appreciate it, Chris. Yeah. I mentioned him earlier. Thomas made big plays throughout, had a great touchdown run after the catch, I believe, and then he made, as I mentioned, the big play down the stretch to give the Cougs a first down. They went on to score and get themselves that two-possession lead and wound up winning it. So, good start for them. You know, the big game everyone will be focused on is the Tech game in week three. That's a Friday. Tech took care of Abilene. Christian Wilhelmin was out there. Castellanos was put in a goal line package or two, I think. I kind of tuned out in the game, so I don't know how extensive his time was in there, but I know I saw him. The game was never competitive, but where Abilene Christian wasn't down three scores, they ran him out there as a dual threat option in the red zone. I think he made a read, gave it to the running back who got in the end zone. So that's something to take a look at. Keyshawn Henderson, I think he played a play because Wegman had his helmet come off. I think it was third down. A safe throw. They had him throw a fade on the outside. Not a bad throw. Took the receiver a little bit out of the end zone, but it was a safe throw. So the arm just, you see it pop. Yeah. Even on that one throw, you saw, oh, okay. Well, there it is. There's what people are excited about. It was just the one play, but you could see that the arm is there, and we'll see if there are blowouts in the future for the Cougs, hopefully, when they're blowing a team out. He'll get more opportunities.
Hopefully on Saturday when they play Southern.
Yeah, that will be a time to get Keyshawn in the game.
Yeah,
Wegman, as I mentioned, he threw that pick, but it wasn't his fault. Receiver kind of got tangled, and then the ball got batted up in the air. He looked pretty good. The Cougs when they could close out drives, the defense I like, but they're just a couple third downs. Like even on the first drive, maybe the second drive, I forgot which one for Oregon State, where they blew a coverage. That got a guy free. It's that thing where it's plays you probably haven't seen before because, first of all, it's not just the start of a game. It's the start of the season. So they're a couple, and it's a new coaching staff with Oregon State. This time I remember it's Jamarcus Shepherd, not Jonathan Smith. Jamarcus Shepherd and that coaching staff probably have some new things they hadn't shown, maybe on tape ever, considering they put that staff together. And so I got the Cougs early, but they were able to get some stops, certainly enough. And they were at one point up three scores. It just turned a little bit after the Wegman turnover. But they did what they had to do. And good start to their season. Willie Fritz will join John Lance tomorrow to talk about that. 7:10, I think, he'll join the show to talk about the win. And throughout the week, it's a little late. I saw Joe's email. Well, we got tickets to give away throughout the week. So we'll have two pairs to give away tomorrow on this show, and throughout the week, you listen to the shows, tickets will be given away for the Cougs because they want to get you out there. There are people out there, but it is certainly a place that wants you to show up and support a good football team. They show that on Saturday, and they're in for a good year. So you guys should get out there. We're going to give you a chance to do that throughout the week. And if you don't get them from us, you can always go to uhcougars.com/tickets or 713-GO-COUGS. Against Southern, you heard Sean mention the game. It'll be First Responders Night. They're celebrating heroes who keep our community safe. And if you get the tickets from us, great. But also 713-GO-COUGS or uhcougars.com/tickets. So tomorrow it's a day off for the Texans, but it's about the time where we actually have conversations about that. Look, no practice today, guys, because it's the customary day off for NFL teams, but the season begins in earnest on Wednesday with Patriots and Seahawks. We're not a show that gives predictions on win-loss. I don't know that John has done it yet either. I know he did it with the schedule because that's his thing. I wonder if he will, after evaluating this preseason and all the time we saw at the starters. Yeah. what a worthless endeavor, the preseason, at this point. maybe he'll have new thoughts because his starting O-line isn't what he thought it would be as far as Wyatt Teller and Braden Smith.
There's been a material change.
Yeah, so maybe a material change in his prediction now that Evan Brown will be the center and Trent Brown will be your right tackle. So I'm just happy the season is here because every Monday or Tuesday, whenever they play, we actually get to talk about the team as a whole, as opposed to, you know what? You know who did pretty good? Marlon Klein. Marlon Klein, you know, he ran that seam route. That was great.
I forgot about the 3 days of my optimism about Marlon Klein. Not that he's done anything to unearn
it. He hasn't done anything.
It's just I haven't thought about him since the Raiders game. Not the Raiders game. The Chargers game.
Yeah, of all the preseason hype, how much of that stuff will kind of carry over into the regular season? We're less than a week away from that and Marlon Klein. How many snaps does he actually get? We'll see. I mean, does he just fall into that bowl of, oh yeah, Lewis Bond and Marlon Klein and all the other guys? Remember when was it Skoranek was a Texan and people were excited about him?
Yeah.
What he could be?
Yeah, maybe a little something on special teams.
Didn't even make the team, from what I remember. Klein has made the team. We'll just see if he's even active on game day. Yes. Hopefully. I think he was a second-round pick. All right. Music means we're done for the day. The lineup will be back whole tomorrow. John and Lance will be back. Jeremy and Joe will return to the afternoon slot. As I said, I don't know who's coming up next. I just know the live portion or the local portion of the day ends in mere seconds. Sean, since we're done, what's it going to be?
We did it!
We did do it. Thank you to everyone who called in on this Labor Day. Enjoy the rest of it. If you got things to do, have some fun. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
ESPN 97.5.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
By law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.